What we're doing is we're going to areas outside of DHS that are doing federally funded cyber R&D. So in the first year, and the first eight technologies that we chose were from the Department of Energy-affiliated national laboratories. The labs like Los Alamos, Sandia, Lawrence Livermore, PNNL, Oak Ridge, those are the five labs that we're working with out of the DOE, out of the first eight that we saw there. The second year, which we'll be bringing in a new set of technologies, which we'll be doing events for in FY14, added in some DOD-affiliated laboratories like Johns Hopkins APL and MIT Lincoln Labs. We also made a visit to SPAWAR Pacific. We'll be continuing to add in some other labs. In the following year, in FY14, when we do our hunting, we're going to use the same labs that we've gone to in each year, but add in some more academic institutions. So we're hoping to work with the National Science Foundation, because we know that they're funding some academic institutions to do research on cybersecurity. We're hoping to find some of those technologies that we can pull into the program, and that would actually get started in our program at the end of FY14 into FY15.
So this, in transition to practice, this is your first demonstration under the program, is that correct?
Actually, this would be our third demonstration, although it's the first time we've done the event focusing on potential commercialization partners, being, you know, the venture capital and investment industry, IT companies, systems integrators, and folks like that. So we've done an event last January. We did our first event for the federal government, where we showed these same technologies to our colleagues in the federal government who are doing cybersecurity work to gauge their interest in these technologies. And we had a very good turnout and feedback on that, and we're expecting to have an even bigger event for them when we introduce the nine new technologies we're bringing in for the next round in early November. We just were last week in New York presenting these technologies to the financial services industry. So we're looking to really work with critical infrastructure areas, and finance being one of the main critical infrastructure areas that the government is interested in securing. We went to New York, where they're centered, and showed them eight technologies, these same ones that we're showing Thursday to the investment and IT company community.
Give me a sense of why you decided to go to Silicon Valley or the West Coast this time versus going to anywhere else or just keeping it in the D.C. area.
We've looked at where our focus areas are centered. So, for instance, we're going to go to the federal government, then you're going to be in D.C. That's where the seat of the federal government is. If you're going to deal with the financial services sector, entire industry, banking, finance, there you're going to go to New York, where all the companies are headquartered. If you want to get to where cybersecurity and IT innovation is happening and that kind of community, the two places for that are Silicon Valley, and D.C. is emerging in that area as well, particularly for government-focused technology. And that's why we're going to be doing the events in both sides of the country. We feel like there's enough of a community on either side that we can talk to all those people and take the technology where the people are, as opposed to expecting them to come to us where we don't get the penetration that we want. This is the first time we've done these events. So these communities don't really know about us until we come to them and do these events. So this is really a big outreach on our part to make sure that they're aware that the federal government is doing this kind of research and is looking to provide the benefit of that research to the community. We really see three big focus areas as our constituencies. It should be the R&D community, the cyber defender people, the people that are in charge on a day-to-day basis of defending either federal network, private sector network for critical infrastructure, or any other kind of company, and then the commercialization partner, the investors, IT companies, and systems integrators that would take these off of the government's hands and actually be able to sell them and bring them to market so that we get the much broader adoption of these technologies.
A lot of groups are interested. Let's jump into the technologies. You said there's eight different technologies. Tell us about some of those.
The eight technologies that we have are headlined by one that's an intrusion detection system from Los Alamos National Laboratory. This one is different from your traditional IDS in that it uses anomaly detection as opposed to signature-based detection to find different things going on in the network. So it'll baseline what's going on within the network, the internal network, and look for different traffic patterns or other things that might stand out, would then alert the cyber analysts that are in charge of the network to then go out and do some forensics on those things. So that one has had a lot of interest. Another one that's getting a lot of interest is, and actually they're all getting a lot of interest, so I shouldn't qualify it that way, but Lawrence Livermore has a mapping tool that's pretty novel in that it can find more or less anything that's attached to your network. So any IP-based networks or machines that are on the network, it typically finds. They like to say that it finds everything you expect and then some more. We have a tool called Hone from PNNL, which the interesting thing about this tool is that it can look into the network and transport layer of an IP packet. So what that means is it correlates process to a port and IP, both on ingress and egress. So it can tell you exactly where traffic is going on a given host, which is something that has not been done before. A second technology that we have from PNNL is called Millstones, which is very interesting because it uses an algorithm that was used in protein sequencing to do network event analysis as well as malware detection. So it takes different events or even software code and sequences them into what would be equivalent of amino acids that make up a protein and builds these textual sequences of these letters. And what it does is it looks for patterns in these letters and matches them up. So it can be used to identify malware in that way. If a given fingerprint of a piece of malware, it can find different pieces that have the same type of patterns and match those up. It can also look at different types of events. So if you know you're looking for certain things that have happened on your network, it can sequence those in the same way and find them throughout your network based on event logs. So it's, and there's a lot of work being going on with that one that they're trying to work, and CSD at S&T is working on taking that technology to another level through a broad agency announcement award called Linebacker.
All right, there's a lot to cover there, so let me back up for a sec. You just mentioned real quick the DHS Science and Technology Directorate is going to potentially award or release a broad agency announcement, the Linebacker. Has that been done already, or is that in the process?
No, that one's already awarded, so the work's already being done on that. That was awarded last year.
Okay, so that's to the Energy Department Lab, PNL, right?
PNNL, yeah, Pacific Northwest National Laboratory.
Okay, so let me back up on a couple of the other ones. They are very interesting. The one you mentioned first, the anomaly-based intrusion detection. Now, is this being used at Los Alamos now, or is this something that's been developed in the lab and they believe it's ready to be broadened out beyond just the lab?
They are actually using it. They are getting the benefit from it, and we're actually in talks with a couple of different partners about piloting that technology in some different networks as well.
Now, is this true for most of these technologies, or some in the test phase and others are in the piloting phase, or how would you kind of characterize most of these technologies?
A lot of them are being used, but some of them are not being used for different reasons. So for instance, one that we have from Oak Ridge called Choreographer, which is a moving target defense technology that's focused on protecting web servers, actually uses honeypots in there. And honeypots can, because of privacy information, privacy concerns, can be difficult for some organizations to deploy. So that one right now is not in use, but not because they don't want to. It's just because they're dealing with privacy concerns, and privacy concerns in the federal government are obviously very important.
And then those other ones that are in use, for instance, they're seeing the benefits off the bat. Does that make a difference to the people you're talking with, that you're presenting to, whether they're in the T&E phase or in the actual pilot phase?
I think they always like it when it's actually been piloted, which is why we're trying to get as many pilots as we can. Because this is a new program, our schedule is kind of jumbled up a little bit more than we'd like. And as we move into FY14, we're going to stretch things out a little bit more so that we have the testing and evaluation and validation that we provide. So all the technologies we bring into our program, we fund testing, evaluation, and red teaming on. We also fund the pilots for those. The idea is that validation, it would be the middle stage, and we have that in hand, or we have an active pilot going along with results from T&E and red teaming that we can hand off to that commercialization partner to help them make their decision.